What about Canadians? There were a lot of Canadians here. Is that a different story, do you think, with Canadians?
As far as our book's concerned, we wanted to focus on the Americans.
Yeah.
We did talk to a couple of people who married Canadians. I think maybe, although they had some of that kind of allure of the Americans...
They weren't quite as kind of glamorous and...
No, because they were a bit more British, do you know what I mean?
Like,
they saw them as much closer to English people somehow, so it was kind of less controversial and less exciting somehow.
And also the Canadians got paid less. I mean, American soldiers are the best paid in the world.
Wow.
An American private was earning 5 times what an English private was.
So they
earning.
Would have been quite literally wealthy
they
by
were,
the standards
rich,
of the time.
Really rich, yeah. So, you know, if you think for girls going out on dates with them, they would be taken to places, have money spent on them, presents bought for them, flowers, everything, you know. They seemed very rich.
Were there any American men who stayed here? Did it ever happen that way, that they married an English girl and said, okay, I'll go and live in Surrey or whatever it might be?
As far as we can see, no. I think in those days the idea was that the woman should have to follow the man.
Should go to where her husband is. Yeah, I can see that would be kind of the mores of the time. I know you can't do a statistical thing on this, but what percentages of the marriages do you think survived in the long run? I don't know how we define the long run. I mean, clearly, you know, that we just heard of a couple who are still together now, 60 years later. But how many do you think kind of, you know, lived a long, happy life together?
My sense, certainly from the sort of 60-odd people that we spoke to, was probably the majority. I mean, quite a lot had problems, but then a lot of marriages...
But then marriages had problems anyway, yeah.
And in those days, you know, I mean, a lot of these women, they barely knew the husbands they were marrying, but then in some ways that was quite common, even if you weren't a GI bride. Yeah. You know, it was slightly exacerbated by the fact of the war and, you know, how little time they'd often spent together. But one of the things that came across often when we interviewed people is that there was this kind of recognition that if things had worked out really well for them, they always said the same thing. They always said, I was really lucky. My husband turned out to be a really nice guy. And that's kind of the sense that we got, is that it was such a gamble they were taking, you know, crossing the world, giving up their family.
To someone you might have met
friends
on 2 or 3 occasions in adults hall in Piccadilly or something.
Exactly. And if you were really lucky, you found that he turned out to be a really great guy and, you know, you had a happy life together. And if not, then you were in a really difficult situation, I guess.
The divorce rates were actually lower with GI marriages than they were for the general population in America, yeah. And we don't know whether, maybe that's because, you know, if you're going to cross the world for somebody,
you're going to put in a lot of effort.
Then you're going to try damn hard to make it work.
Yes, I think that sounds absolutely the case. But I mean, but someone like Sylvia, we heard, you know, her marriage lasted, but then ultimately it didn't. But you can't really put that necessarily down to being a GI bride, can you? That can happen in so many marriages.
Well, in a way, I mean, she and her husband never divorced. She actually stayed with him. They kind of ended up living separate lives within the same house.
Right.
And that was partly because she felt she couldn't really cope as a single mother in America,
right,
and she didn't have family around, and she didn't want to go back to England because she felt it wasn't fair on her own parents to kind of be a burden.
I was going to say, did many come home? Did many come back? I wonder.
Well, my grandmother came back.
Yeah.
And, you know, she ended up in that situation where she had 3 children and she was a single mother. In those days, there were no benefits, nothing like that.
That's tough.
She had to put them into a home for a while. So, I mean, I think that's what women were facing. If they came back, especially if they had children, you know, it was extremely difficult for them to rebuild their lives.
The British authorities in New York were quite unhelpful in some ways, in terms of, you know, there were people who turned up and quite quickly it didn't work out and they wanted to get a divorce and go home.
Yeah.
And they actually were surprisingly kind of unsympathetic.
Did they tend to get married here and then go back?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly they got married during the war, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, Sylvia was unusual in that they were engaged and they were going to get married, and then her fiancé got sent back sooner than they expected, basically. And they didn't know when they would be able to see each other again or whatever, but, you know, she just had this kind of promise from him, oh, somehow we'll get you over there, which also meant that they would have to pay for the ticket, whereas if you were already married, then the US government, the US Army,
they
transported them for free.
Right.
So she was lucky, in a sense, in that her husband won a load of money in a gambling game and paid for a flight. But then what she discovered later was that he was a compulsive gambler.
Yes, exactly. That was the downside, I guess, of all of this. There must have been a lot of women who were kind of on a promise of a marriage that never occurred, I'm sure, as well. For the 70,000 GI brides that there were, I'm sure there were just as many, if not more, you know, 70,000 stood up at the altar or whatever.
Definitely. And I think the American army were very good at disappearing men
really?
Who had a woman after them who, you know, wanted them to marry them. And even if they were pregnant.
Because breach of promise was a concept then, wasn't it? That you could...
Well, I think really the army didn't want its men to get married. They wanted them to concentrate on the war, not on romance. And so they would just, you know, if a man came to them and said, oh, you know, I've got this woman in trouble, I need to get out, they would just move them to another part of Britain and they'd never be heard from again. Wow. So you did end up with quite a lot of these GI babies, you know, who never had fathers.
And also, I mean, it wasn't just the army, because often their family would get involved, wouldn't they? There was, we heard about one case of a father who'd offered £3,000 to a GI to basically leave his daughter alone and not marry her. Another woman got in touch with us about her, I think it was her aunt or maybe her grandmother, who she'd been engaged to this guy. She really loved him. She was devoted to him. She thought he was to her. And then he stopped writing to her. And she was devastated by this. And then in the end, her family persuaded her to marry like a family friend who was 20 years older than her or whatever, and kind of settle for a life that wasn't really what she wanted. And then she discovered decades later that he had been writing all that time, and her parents had been burning the letters.
Wow. There are some extraordinary human stories involved in all of this, aren't there, really? Mm. And you have to remember as well that you're dealing with really young people. These are teenagers.
I know, that's what I find astonishing, is that, you know, I think Sylvia was about 16 when she met Bob, and, you know, my grandma was only, by the age of 23, you know, she had three children. So it's hard for us to get our heads around that.
I think people grew up quick in those days, but I guess if you've got a war going on around you, you have to, don't you, really? I mean, it's all part of it. Absolutely fascinating stories, and lots of them are here in the book, GI Brides, The Wartime Girls Who Crossed the Atlantic for Love, and it's by Duncan Barrett and Nuala Calvi. Duncan and Nuala, thank you both very, very much.